Let's continue our series this morning on the Word of God. We're looking at several of the various analogies that are found in the Bible that illustrate for us the importance and the value of the Word of God. And so far we have read that the Word is like a fire, a hammer, a sword, and light. This morning, let's read how the Word of God, both the written Word and the living Word, is like a seed. We'll begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 to 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. A seed contains within itself the very power to bring forth life, beauty, and fruit. Whether you are speaking of the seed of man or a seed from the vegetation kingdom. And as amazing and as fascinating as they are, all natural seed is corruptible because the life and beauty and fruit that they bring forth is temporal and quickly fades and dies. The beauty of a flower springs forth from a seed and enjoys a short period of breathtaking beauty and detail and then dies away as quickly as it springs up. The same is true of the life that comes from the seed of man. Man is born into this world and is truly fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is a marvel of detail and beauty. The ideal life that we can hope to live in this life and in these bodies is to be strong and healthy and beautiful, rich and successful, powerful and intelligent. And those goals in and of themselves certainly are not bad. Yet even if we obtain all this glory in the natural, there will come a time when all of that beauty and glory and strength and intelligence will quickly pass away because we are born of a corruptible seed, the seed of Adam, that is contaminated by sin. Too many people focus on that short blooming period of the glory of life, and they give no thought to the reality of death and eternity. They spend all their time and energy trying to maximize their passing glory in this life. James tells us that life is a vapor. It's here for a short time in the morning and then it's gone. Solomon says because of the inevitable end of death and of everyone who is born to the human race, the life experience of everyone is vanity, emptiness, when evaluated only in the context of this natural life on this earth, which is so short. So brief. But the Word of God is the incorruptible seed that produces life, beauty, and fruit that are eternal because it is eternal. The truth of God's Word that revealed to us Jesus as the Savior of the world and the eternal Son of God is the seed that, when received by those who believe, brings forth a life that is as eternal as the truth of God's word itself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That incorruptible seed of that truth has produced in me a life that will never end and that will flourish in the presence of God forever. So many Christians live in fear that they may somehow lose their eternal life. And for me to lose my eternal life, the living and the written word, Jesus and the Bible, would have to pass away and be proven to be corruptible, fallible, and invalid. That will never happen. My life is as eternal as Jesus himself, as eternal as his word. The life I possess as a believer in Jesus Christ is as eternal as Christ himself because it came from him. The incorruptible seed, through the revelation of his eternal, incorruptible word. And that same incorruptible seed that produces eternal life in those who believe, in those who put their faith in Jesus, will also produce eternal beauty and fruit that will have eternal benefit and reward in eternity. We can look at every specific doctrine, every glorious revelation of truth in God's word, and consider it to be a seed that has power to produce life, power to produce something that is beautiful and something that is useful to God, pleasing to God. The seed of salvation, when planted in the heart, brings forth forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The precious truths bring forth spiritual and eternal beauty and fruit that the Lord finds very pleasing and attractive, and that has eternal reward in those who allow the Word of God to be planted in their hearts and then nurture it and allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to produce fruit, spiritual fruit. All the Word of God is truth, and yet there are many specific truths found in the Word of God. Revelations about different aspects of God and different aspects of His will and purpose for our life. And each one of those can be considered seed as well, and we need to receive the implanted seed of sound doctrine. In the natural, a 50-pound bag of bluegrass seed, it contains thousands of individual seeds, but we say it's a bag of seed because it's all of the same kind. All of God's word is eternal. It's truth. It's an incorruptible seed. But there are individual truths that will produce in us specific fruit. In all of creation, there is only one thing that has the power within itself to produce life, beauty, and fruit that are eternal. And that is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, the truths, the revelations that are found in the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's word and its reliability, its truth, it will never pass away, and neither will anything that we allow it to produce in our life. Those things will also not pass away. And so if all of this is true, what the Bible reveals about itself, if that is true, how much time and energy do you think we should spend sowing this precious seed in our own hearts and in the hearts of others? This life is so short. We need to spend it preparing for an eternal harvest of glory and riches that can only come from an understanding of and obedience to the eternal Word of God. Your natural beauty, strength, and intelligence will eventually fail you, no matter how much time, energy, and money you spend to enhance those things. Billions and billions of dollars are spent on beauty aids in this country. And even if you die in the height of your beauty, strength, and intelligence, the only thing you have accomplished, if you have failed to plant the Word of God in your heart, the only thing that you will have accomplished is that you will make a very nice-looking corpse. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, Hosea 8 and verse 7, we read that the people of Israel spend all of their time trying to enjoy this short life without giving any consideration to hearing and obeying the Word of God. They spent time, money, and energy trying to fill their life with all kinds of activities, all kinds of accomplishments, while ignoring what God had revealed to be His will for them. In fact, they lived contrary to that revelation. And so Hosea describes that kind of living this way. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal. If it should produce, foreigners will swallow it up. Israel rejected the Word of God, and they suffered the consequences of coming up empty-handed. They planted wind. They lived their life to do things that had no real lasting eternal value. And so when you plant the wind, your harvest is a whirlwind of destruction and loss and sorrow. When you die, you're not going to take your sports trophies with you. You're not going to take your college degree with you. You're not going to take your retirement fund with you. You're not going to take your family with you. You're not going to take your political or social accomplishments with you. Those things in and of themselves are not wrong or sinful. But when you spend all your time and energy trying to gain and accomplish those things while ignoring and neglecting your spiritual life that is only fed by the Word of God, you are going to stand before your Savior empty-handed. All who've accepted Jesus as their Savior have eternal life. They have a home in heaven. But there will be many that will be saved yet so as by fire. All their other accomplishments and their endeavors will pass away because they have no eternal value. But only what the Word of God has produced in them will have eternal value. And so many will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Many Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed. But we can have a full harvest, saints, if we will understand the value and the importance of the Word of God in our life, that we take it in, that we study it, that we understand it and apply it to our life, that we allow it to be our full and final authority for every aspect of our life, every relationship. We can have a full harvest that will abound to the glory of God, to the glory of His grace. We can't boast in it. This is God's incorruptible seed, not ours. But we can simply receive it, allow the Holy Spirit to plant it in our hearts and our minds, and then to allow the Holy Spirit to nourish it and bring forth fruit, that when Jesus comes, we'll have a full harvest of things that have eternal value. The only thing that you are going to take with you when you die is that which you have planted in your heart of the Word of God that has produced in you eternal fruit for the glory of Jesus Christ. The only thing that you have given your friends and family that will have any lasting and eternal value for them will be what you have given them of the Word of God through your example of and obedience to truth, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verses 26 and 27, Paul knew that he was soon to die. He was going to be martyred for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew it. God had revealed it to him. And he knew that this was going to be the last time that he saw these precious brothers, the Ephesian elders. And so what he said to them was what he felt was most important and most valuable to him and his life and to what should be the most important and most valuable thing in the lives of these Ephesian elders. Stop and think about that. If you knew you were going to die in a day or two, what would be the last words to your friends and family? What would be the most important thing that you would want to share with them before you left this life? These in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, are Paul's last words to these men. He said, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Why? "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." To Paul, this was his greatest accomplishment in life. Not all of his other education that he received in his religious training, not all the power and the wealth that he had accumulated before coming to Christ, but the fact that he had declared the whole counsel of God, that he had shared this incorruptible seed with others without compromise. This is what Paul felt was his greatest accomplishment in life. And then in verse 32 of this same Acts 20, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." These were Paul's last words to the Ephesian elders. He wanted to say to them what mattered most to him and what would benefit them and those they ministered to most. Paul was innocent of the blood of all because he was faithful to give them what was in their eternal best interest, the whole counsel of God, and to be an example of that word that changed and transformed his life. This is what Paul considered to be his greatest accomplishment and his greatest privilege in life. And then he commended them to that same word of God's grace that saved Paul, that transformed his life, that got him ready to meet his Savior, and that prepared him to rule and reign with Christ. Those who understand that the word of God is the incorruptible seed, they will spend personal and private time and energy and resources studying it and applying it to every situation in their life because they know how important and valuable it is. They make it a point to regularly assemble themselves together with others where they can hear the word expounded by those who have been given gifts for the edification of the body of Christ. They will also take advantage of every opportunity to plant the seed of God's word in the lives of those they come in contact with through one-on-one conversations or from Bible studies or whatever opportunity they have to plant the seed in the hearts and minds of others. The truths that God has revealed in his word. Those who understand the value of this incorruptible seed, they support the preaching of God's word and the missionary outreach to give others an opportunity to benefit from that incorruptible seed of God's word. They are faithful to sow that eternal seed of truth in the lives of others. If that does not describe you, then you do not believe that the Bible is the eternal incorruptible seed. You don't understand its value, and you are wasting your time and energy sowing corruptible seed that may give you a temporal and even a very desirable harvest, but one that one day will fade and pass away. You are sowing to the wind, and you will reap a whirlwind of loss and destruction. Put Jesus first and his will, his word in your life. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Make him over and above everything else in your life. All other goals, all other desires, put them far behind. Number one, in Jesus Christ, focus on him and his will and his word. Paul wrote to Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 5 to 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 9. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. This is his seed. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He deserves the glory. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. They're on the same team. They may be doing different things in this planting of seed, but it's the same work. It's working in God's field, planting the word. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Yes, we are all one, doing the same thing, doing the work of the Lord when we plant the word of God in the hearts of others, but we will be held accountable as individuals for our faithfulness or lack thereof in planting this incorruptible seed in the lives of others. And then in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. Imagine that. We are a part of what God is doing in the lives of others for eternity. Do we realize how privileged we are? Do we realize how great a responsibility it is for us to dedicate ourselves to proclaiming these truths that are found in the Bible? To give others the opportunity to hear them and to receive them and to be transformed by them and to prepare them for eternity after this short life is over. What a privilege we have. We are co-workers with God. You are God's field and you are God's building. Saints, may we never take for granted this word that has been given and entrusted to us. May we be examples of its power. This seed, it's not just words on a page or a digital display. God's word has power within itself to produce life and beauty and fruit that will last forever. This is how valuable this word is. This is the privilege that we have to proclaim and to support the proclamation of this word. May the Lord help us to be faithful to this incorruptible seed of the Word of God.